welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning and we're going to get started. We're going to get started in a passage of Scripture here in Galatians chapter 6. And this is the Apostle Paul, and he's talking actually to the Galatian region. You know, Galatia was not a church like the Galatian church, like the church of Ephesus. Galatia was a lot like Door County. It was a region. You had a lot of little areas around that Galatia region. And so it's kind of like what we're used to, you know, whether it's, Bailey's Harbor, Sister Bay, Fish Creek. It's kind of the Door County region. So the Apostle Paul is talking to this region of churches, and he says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." The Passion puts it this way. It says, if you plant the good seeds of Spirit life, you will reap the beautiful fruits that grow from the everlasting life of the Spirit. You know, this is one of those scriptures that you kind of understand it. A lot of times we kind of look at this scripture, you can look at it two ways, I guess. You can look at it on the negative side or on the positive side. You know, you sow to the flesh, you'll love the flesh, reap corruption. We kind of know what that means. You know, if I do and say and the wrong bad things, you know, I'm going to draw a bunch of, you know, flesh, world, and the devil bad things, negative things. But he goes on to say, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And on this side of it, sometimes we can kind of go, okay, well, I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm going to live with Jesus forever. All right, good. But this scripture isn't just talking about, you know, living eternally with Jesus. This isn't just talking about being in heaven with Jesus or living with him eternally. It says, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There is a now present reaping of life you experience when you sow to the Spirit now. Because he's talking about two active things in the here and now. You can sow to the flesh in the here and now, or you can sow to the Spirit in the here and now. You sow to the flesh, you get flesh stuff. You sow to the Spirit, you reap life. And again, I want to kind of help you think through this, as I've had to, you know, work through this in my own mind, is to not just tilt to eternity. There is a here and now present reaping of life. In fact, this is what Jesus said. He said, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Amplified says, I came that they may have and enjoy life, have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. Jesus came that we would have life. Paul said, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. And what I want to talk about this morning is I want to talk about the idea of simply reaping life, okay? We can reap life in the here and now. And that's a really big deal because there's something that I can do to reap life. I don't just spontaneously reap life. It's when I sow to the Spirit, I reap life. Now, we're going to talk about reaping life, and we think of fruit, and I love how the Passion here puts it. You plant the seeds of the Spirit life, you'll reap the beautiful fruits that grow from everlasting life. There's a reaping life, fruit, that fruit of the Spirit. When you think of fruit, you think of reaping, you think of something sweet, you think of something tangible, you think of something, you think of experience. You're reaping life of the Spirit. There's an actual reaping of that life of the Spirit. And so this morning, we're going to be talking about ministering again along the lines of simply what we're calling reaping life, okay? And I like this picture of reaping life because I grew up on a farm, a strawberry farm, and so I know a lot about this picture. I know that this picture, you know, didn't start out this way. There was something that was involved before this reaping of life, but we see this little girl just two-fisted life and that more abundantly. And I just feel like this captures the heart of God for us. He wants us to reap life. And again, this is here and now stuff. We know what it's like to sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption. But he wants us to know what it's like to sow to the Spirit on purpose and of the Spirit reap life. Now, what I'm going to be talking about this morning, you know, the subject is reaping life, but this is really getting into your personal relationship with Jesus. Because this is where it all comes together, the reaping of life. Your walk with Jesus is ultimately about this. It's reaping life. That sowing to the Spirit and reaping of the Spirit is a walk. Now, when we're talking about this then, I want to kind of just, kind of where things meet real life, I want to talk about what reaping looks like. Now, when we think of reaping, a lot of times we think along these lines, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit within you is divine love in all of its varied expressions, a joy that overflows, a peace that subdues, a patience that endures, a kindness in action, a life full of virtue, a faith that prevails, gentleness of heart, and a strength of spirit. Beautifully put. These are fruits of the Spirit. And it is exciting. When you're walking with the Lord and you're having fellowship with Him and you experience these things, it's like you experience that joy, that supernatural peace, that kindness. These are like fruits that spring up as you're simply sowing to the Spirit. You're walking with God. You experience these different kind of things. Not only that, but when you look at Galatians 5 a little bit further up, it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So not only do you reap stuff like this, but part of your reaping when you're walking in the Spirit, when you're sowing to the Spirit, you actually reap a death as part of life. You reap the death of the deeds of the flesh. You reap a death to those appetites. You're enjoying spiritual things and your desire for flesh stuff dies. Those appetites die. That's part of reaping of the Spirit. You don't desire things that you used to desire. That's really kind of, this is kind of what I would call kind of the classic reaping of the flesh. This is kind of the stuff that we think about. And this is good. And this is absolutely part of reaping of the Spirit. But I want to bring this down a little closer to home. Again, this is as it relates to our walk with Jesus, our day-to-day life, our day-to-day stuff. Here's a big part of what we reap too when we sow to the Spirit. 1 John 1:6 says, if we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Amplified, but if we really are living and walking in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have true, unbroken fellowship with one another. Praise God. You know, if I say I have fellowship with Him, you know, if I'm walking in darkness, I'm still a new creation. We kind of went through this before, the new creation thinking. If I yield to the flesh, I'm still a new creation. I still have the Holy Spirit. I still have the gift of righteousness. But I don't have fellowship. Fellowship is different. There is something different about fellowship. He says, if we walk in the light. You know, there's two kinds of truth that you read about in the Scripture. Positional truths, that what God did for you in Christ. And then there's the practical outward truths of living for God. He's saying, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, just listen to me with your heart and listen to me as you're kind of thinking about just things in your life. When you sow to the Spirit, when you reap of the Spirit, okay, you reap a fellowship. You reap a connection with God. There's what the scripture calls here, John goes on to say, you have an anointing from the Holy One, you know all things. These things I've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing, this is the Holy Spirit, which you've received from him abides in you. You don't need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a liar. Just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. You have an anointing, the Holy Spirit. When you're in fellowship with him, you're in fellowship with the anointing that abides on the inside of you. You are in active fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know and you know what it's like to be in that active fellowship with the Holy Spirit and when I'm not in active fellowship with the Holy Spirit and I'm guessing. Those are two different areas. You can't theologically smooth them over as one big thing. They're not. There's a being in fellowship with the anointing. When I'm hearing, I'm getting stuff, and when I'm not. And one of the great things that you reap of the Spirit is you reap a fellowship and an anointing. Romans puts it this way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. You did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. There's an active witness of the Spirit that communicates to you, that talks to you. And when you begin to get in fellowship, and I'm talking, this is a reaping, this is a fruit of reaping, an active fellowship with God. Because when you begin to reap of the Spirit of God, when you begin to reap of this anointing that knows all things, it's different. When I'm not actively walking in fellowship with God, where I'm walking in that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I can be over here, like I said, guessing, and it's kind of like, I know I shouldn't think there. I know I shouldn't think about that. I know I shouldn't go there mentally, but I can't help it. But I can't help it. But I can't help it. Well, that's true. When you're out of fellowship with him, you can't help it. The anointing is the helper. In order for you to be able to help it, you need the helper's help to not help it, to not go there. But the anointing in you, the helper, the Holy Spirit, can give you the power to not go there. There's something about having that thought, again, whether it's the flesh, the world, the devil, however he comes at you with thoughts and different things like that, and all of a sudden, you sense the Holy Spirit, you know, I know I shouldn't go there, and the Holy Spirit says, no, no. There's a witness of the Spirit. There's a witness of the Spirit that says, no, nope, nope, that's not truth. When I'm in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I don't know all things, but I'm in fellowship with the one who knows all things. And when I'm in fellowship with him, there's a witness that says, no, no. And that's bigger than, oh, I shouldn't go there. I know it. There's like, wow, it's a newness of the Spirit. There's a life. This is a big part of reaping of the Spirit. Yes, joy and peace, but there's a knowing that you reap. There's a walk with God when you're in fellowship with him. The blood of his Christ, Son, Jesus Christ, it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. There's nothing condemning your conscience anymore. Your conscience is clear by the blood of Jesus. You've got things clear in your heart before God. I'm walking with him. If there's anything bothering my conscience, it's before the throne of grace. It's cleansed. It's washed. It's done. I'm in fellowship with God. And I reap something of the Spirit. You reap the ability to not go there. You could put it this way. You reap ears to hear. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. And he said of other people, they're dull of hearing. Again, we've been both people. There have been times we've been dull of hearing, and there's times we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying. That's a very powerful place. When you have the witness of the anointing within, and this is the way it's designed. That's strong language. These things we've written to you concerning those who try to deceive you, but the anointing which you received abides in you, and you do not, look at this, you do not need that anyone teach you, but that same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Again, we clarify that God gave us teachers. It doesn't mean that we don't have gifts that God gives us to teach us and different things like that. But there is a strong language there, and he says it in context with those who are trying to deceive him, saying, you have the Holy Spirit in you. God personally speaks with you. There will be a witness that the anointing in you will give you. And there is something about that place. Because, you know, when you are in that place and you're walking with God, it's like a good Holy Spirit just knowing. It's like, I would put it this way. the Holy Spirit has the ability to kind of activate your weapons. You know, I know the weapons of my warfare are not carnal. They're powerful through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This is not a mental exercise. As I'm walking with God and I'm in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's like there's a Holy Ghost filter. And when things come against you, oh, it's knocked out because you're in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit doesn't bear witness to that. This is powerful. This is a big part of reaping of the Spirit. I want to live in fellowship with God. It answers a million and one questions when I can just be in active, living fellowship with Jesus, when I'm sensing His Spirit saying, yep, nope, there's a witness. And you don't always know why. You just know that. You understand? And so that's a powerful way that the Spirit of God will minister to us. There's a reaping of fellowship. There's a reaping of fellowship that we have. Not only that, but we also see 2 Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, here again, this is another part of the anointing and just the Spirit of God. He says in verse 6 there, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which would be kind of a form of sowing. But when you stir up that gift of God, and when the presence of God, even like when we, like this morning, what we did this morning is we intentionally worshiped the Lord. We intentionally stirred up the Holy Spirit. And you can sense the Spirit of God fill the room. Now, the same Spirit was in you before you came here this morning, but you got stirred up in your spirit. And the things of the Spirit became real. You magnified the Lord, and there's a presence of God, all right? And a lot of times when we're talking about even, you know, the fruit of the Spirit isn't just the fruit of that fellowship, but there's a fruit of the presence of God. You know, what he's saying is you haven't received a spirit of fear, stir up the Spirit of God, you'll experience power, love, and a sound mind. You can try to fight fear sometimes in your mind, and it's hard, again, to try to fight fear. And you think, in order to fight fear, I got to solve something, I got to figure something out, I need understanding to defeat fear. No, the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing of the presence of God breaks the yoke. You're going to reap something. You're going to experience something of the Spirit of God. The think right message does not work right without the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand? You need the Holy Spirit to think right. It's a spirit of a sound mind. You stir up that ability to think and to think clearly. What is it? These are evidences of reaping. When you begin to stir up the Spirit of God, and all of a sudden there's a continuity of thought, you can think clearer, and it just gives that ability, that your ability to think clearly, your ability to think right. It's like things can slow down, you know? So these are some aspects of reaping. And then finally, the scripture says, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So then faith is birthed in the heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the... So then faith is birthed in the heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. So there's a faith that's also part of a reaping. In other words, when you're spending that time in the word of God, there's a reaping of faith. All of a sudden, and there's revelation, there's a spirit of wisdom and revelation that you begin to experience. And I'm just trying to think of different aspects of fruit as it's relating to your life, okay? Because you're going to get some things, you're going to, you know, if you get Satan's revelation and demonic revelation and that demonic wisdom, he'll give you a picture of yourself circling the drain, all right? God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're going from glory to glory to glory. See, that's different because what happens when you get in that active fellowship with God and you begin to experience the tangible expressions of the Spirit, and it's real, and this is individual. You need not that any man teach you. That means there's a private something going on between you and the Spirit of God that's between you and Him, all right? We know we all experience it, but when you reap of the Spirit, there's an active dialogue, an exchange that's going from spirit to spirit. In the same way the Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you're a child of God, the Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Don't go there. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Look at that scripture. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. Listen to that song. The Spirit will bear witness with your spirit. And there's an active, living newness of spirit that you're experiencing in God. And that's when Christianity is amazing, fun, and exciting, the way it's supposed to be. We reap of the Spirit, but also there's a reaping of that spirit of wisdom and revelation, but there's a reaping of faith. Because a lot of times, you know, in your mind, you think, oh, that's cool. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think. Well, that's pretty cool. You know, but then where that meets real life, then I've got all the yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but, yeah, but. But when you get a spirit of faith, you know, all of a sudden you think, you know, your special situation isn't special anymore. God is special, and his power is special, and his word is special. You get a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him and his power that works toward you to believe. This is revelation stuff. This is a reaping of revelation. There's a reaping of faith that comes as you're sowing to the Spirit, okay? This is a form of reaping that we've got to be aware of as it relates to our individual little personal walk with Jesus Christ. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? Yes, I do. And this is the way it looks. There's a dynamic interaction between me and the anointing that abides within. There's a supernatural power to not go there. There's a supernatural power to think right. There's a supernatural wisdom of revelation that I get, that I experience. This is fruit. This is fruit of an active relationship with Jesus. Okay? This is the cool stuff. This is where we want to live. This is what we want to experience. Now, I'm kind of saying all that up here almost as a little bit of a setup. Because what we want to get into now, I'm talking about sowing and reaping, but I'm actually starting with the reaping first. Because I really want to get to the sowing. The reaping is all that cool stuff. And we've all done this. We've sowed and we've reaped and we've experienced some really amazing things. But what we've got to understand about all that supernatural dynamic action of the Holy Spirit, because a lot of times when we think about that stuff, and oh, I remember getting that word, and I remember getting, you know, just that ability to just not go there. And I remember, you know, God just telling me to let go of this thing or, you know, do things like that. It was like these amazing things. That was back in 1983 and that was back in, you know, 2006 and, you know, all this kind of stuff where we have these different kind of supernatural experiences with God and different things like that. And sometimes we get a little confused in our personal relationship with God, why things happen and why things don't happen. And so I really want to make this clear about this really cool reaping stuff. And I want to put it in perspective in a way that I'm just trusting all of us are going to come up in a stronger walk with Jesus and a stronger reaping of life than ever before. We're not going to be ignorant. We're not, sometimes our own victories, we're ignorant in our own victories of why things happened. We're going to just try to put all this into focus to where we can see concretely from the Word of God why things happen, why good things happen to good people, and how we can be intentional about these things. What sowing looks like. Hebrews says, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he was known as a person who pleased God. But it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. New King James, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, we're talking about a reaping that's not hit-miss. We're talking about a reaping that's intentional. We're talking about an expectant reaping. You know what he says here? If I'm going to please God, I got to believe two things about him. I got to believe that he exists. He doesn't say, I got to believe that God is and that he's holy. That's not faith. I believe that he is and he's sovereign. That's not faith. I believe that he is and I believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Unless I believe that, I'm not in faith. You got to believe he's a rewarder. You got to sow with an expectancy. For it to be faith. If there's no expectancy, you're back to religion again. Forget the personal interactive dynamic with the Holy Spirit and the anointing that abides within. You're out of the realm of relationship and you're back to chucking boxes to appease an angry God. I can tell you this, I kind of brought our picture back into focus again with this little girl. When we would plant strawberry plants, me and my dad, he'd be out there with the shovel, he'd be on the spade, I'd be doing the plants. Man, we'd be doing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of plants. And I remember looking back and seeing acres of strawberry plants, you know, at the end of the day. And our thought wasn't, wouldn't it be really cool if we actually did have a strawberry? That never entered our mind. Because we believe in the God of seed time and harvest. We believe in the God who set that up that way. I believe he's the God of seed time. I believe he's the God of harvest. I believe he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I can reap of what I will sow. You understand? There's an expectancy there. Now, let's clarify something about this expectancy. And this is why, you know, the reason why it has to be preached is because a lot of times the expectancy has been preached out of faith. And it's kind of a que sera, sera. No, there's an expectancy in faith, but this is not an angry expectancy. It's not an arrogant expectancy. It's a confident hope that our God is true. He's demanded that I believe that he's a rewarder. When I have that expectancy, I'm obeying his word. It's obedience to him. He wants me to think that way. He wants me to see him that real. It's one thing to say, I believe God is. Really? There's another part to that. Let's see if you really believe God is. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The diligently seeking him is the faith evidence that you really believe that he is. There's two parts to this thing. Yeah, I got to believe that he is. Well, let's see. Your diligently seeking him completes that faith. And it pleases God. It doesn't please the religious person, but it pleases God. It's not the fear of the Lord to say, I hope I'll reap. I hope that if it's God's will. No, I believe it's God's will because he told me that I have to believe he's a rewarder. Do you understand? This is going to come around to reaping. You can't reap. You can't reap unless you sow in faith. What did Paul say in 1 Corinthians 9:10? He said, the farmer plows, he plows in hope. He threshes in hope. There's a hope behind your threshing. It's a joyful expectation. When I'm doing this, when I'm getting ready to sow, we're going to talk about sowing. But when I'm getting ready to sow, I'm sowing with an attitude. I'm seeing something. I'm seeing that fellowship with the Holy Ghost. I'm seeing that vital interaction. I'm seeing that knowing, that intuitive knowing that comes from him. I'm seeing the revelation that's out ahead of where I'm at right now. I'm seeing that fruit. I'm seeing the things that I need. I'm sowing with expectation. I'm sowing with that expectation. Now, as we're looking at that, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows. But this is the farmer. He does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, the blade pushes through. Then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come. But look at this. The farmer doesn't understand how it happens. He just knows that it's going to happen. He just knows that it's going to happen. And a lot of times when we're sowing and we got our problems and we got our issues, we're trying to figure out how God is going to make it happen and how God is going to deliver and how God is going to do those things. We're not called to understand how it happens. We're just called to sow to the Spirit. The one who knows all things will show me when he's ready to show me. Right now, I'm actively sowing to the Spirit. I'm sowing to the Spirit with an expectancy that I'm going to reap of the Spirit. I'm going to reap that life. I'm going to reap that knowing. I'm going to reap this vital interaction with the Holy Ghost. And in that, and the other thing that you kind of realize here too, is in the sequence of things, then in verse 29, the sowing for in verse 26, you see that's where the sowing happens. The farmer scatters the seed. And in verse 29, that's when the harvest happens. So here's just something about sowing. When I'm going into sowing, just because I'm not actively getting revelation while I'm sowing, just because I'm not actively experiencing the supernatural knowing of the Holy Spirit or the supernatural faith, that's fine. I'm not reaping right now. I'm sowing right now. Do you understand? You sow and then you reap. There's a sowing and there's a reaping. Sometimes I'll go into sow and I feel like, why don't I feel it? Why am I not just fully lushing, gushing with the fruit of the, reaping the fruit of the Spirit while I'm sowing? I must not be sowing right. You know, when we put those plants in the ground, if I was to look at, plant that plant on the basis of the way the plant looks really, there's hardly anything to it. It's more root system. There's a few little leaves, but if I looked at the thing, look at that little thing. There's no fruit on you. Why even mess with it? No, you're not reaping. You're not picking those berries yet. Right now, all you're doing is sowing. You're sowing in faith, believing He is and believing He's a rewarder. I'm talking about our relationship with Jesus right now, our relationship with God. I'm sowing in faith. You're doing some things consciously with spiritual principles in mind. I remember Kenneth Hagin would say before he'd read his Bible, just to keep that religious spirit off him, he'd say, I'm feeding my faith. I'm feeding my faith right now. I'm being deliberate. I'm feeding my faith. And that's the same thing you can do. When you go down to your devotion time or have your devotion time, you can say, I am sowing to the Spirit. I'm sowing. I am sowing the Word of God. Praise God. Because here's the cool thing. And this is what Paul said. He said, after all, who's Apollos? Who's Paul? We're only God's servants through whom you believed the good news. Each one of us did the work God gave us. I planted the seed in your hearts. Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow. Or you could say, God who gives the increase. That mysterious part that the farmer doesn't know how it happens, God does it, but He gives the increase. He makes it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. It's not my job to make it grow. It's just my job to plant the seed. I'm just sowing. I'm just sowing in faith. I'm plowing in hope. I'm threshing in hope. But God's going to make it grow. And He likes that. That's evidence that I really do believe that He is. As I'm diligently seeking Him. As I'm just by faith sowing that word in my heart. I'm letting it sow. I'm letting it germinate in my heart. I'm letting it happen. So it's important to understand that I got to sow before I can reap. When I'm putting that plant in that seed, I can't expect there to be full of a bunch of strawberries. I'm planting it so that it can grow, so that God can give the increase. But my faith is that I'm doing this in hope, knowing that God is going to give the increase. It's like a season. And then this is what Jesus says. I love how emphatic Jesus is about this idea. He says, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you for everyone. This can upset a lot of theology right here. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be open. What attitude does He have toward us? He wants us to be askers and seekers and knockers. And He says, you do it. Don't just do it to do it and say. You do it with an expectancy that you're going to receive, that you're going to find, that the door will be open. Jesus was the biggest faith preacher of all, right? Yeah. Have faith in God. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and not doubt in his heart, but be thou cast in the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, he shall have whatsoever he says. He prefaced it with, have faith in God. There should be an expectancy in our faith. Jesus preached expectancy. And what are we doing when we're doing that? We're planting, we're sowing, we're putting things in the ground. We're sowing, and again, there can be different forms of sowing in terms of, again, I'm kind of getting classic stuff. This is what you, a lot of the other sermons I preach are about. Setting your mind on things above, being filled with the Holy Spirit, singing songs, hymns, spiritual songs, letting the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Those are those different, coming to church on a Sunday morning, being a part of the body of believers and just enjoying the fellowship and the fruit of the Spirit, doing what God has told you to do. Once you get a revelation from God, doing, being a doer of the Word, that releases the seed into the ground, releases your faith. There's all kind of different things that you can do it. But we're doing those things with an attitude of reaping. We're doing those things with an attitude that we're going to receive. We're going to reap life. We're going to reap of the Spirit life. And here's an important aspect to that too. And I'm just telling on myself here. I've done this where I've sown to the Spirit and I'm reaping. I'm getting stuff. I'm writing stuff. It's flowing. I'm not afraid. Fear is gone. The anointing is talking louder than the fear. And I'm declaring some things and I'm in that zone. Praise God, and it's good. I'm there, and I know why I'm there. I've been sowing to the Spirit, and I'm praise God. He's faithful. Seed time and harvest. He gave the increase. I've got stuff, and it's really awesome, and it's really cool. There's an important lesson I learned. When I got there, I wanted to try to keep that going. I want to keep that going. I don't ever want to lose this. When you understand seed time and harvest, you realize, that's wrong. I do want to lose that. It's a season. I'm not trying to hold on to this. I'm not trying to hold on to that bumper crop we had back in 1974 at the strawberry farm. Just, okay, no. It's a season. It's there for a season. It's not there forever. You can suddenly want to be trying to get out of the responsibility of having to sow all over again. All right. And I'm just saying, you like the glory of reaping, you like the glory of the season, but I've had that where I'm getting stuff, and it's like I've woken up the next morning, it's like, oh man, where is God? You never get so blessed in your season of reaping that God bestows upon you a favor that you never have to sit down with your Bible again and just soul. You never get there. I'm not trying to maintain the glory. God wants you to go from glory to glory, which means you're going to go from sowing and reaping to sowing and reaping to sowing and reaping. So we kind of get this romantic idea of a relationship with Jesus. It's seasons of sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping, and no matter where you are, you can determine to sow. I want to sow and hear what the Spirit of God is saying. You want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying today? Sow today. Sow today, and you'll hear what the Spirit of God is saying today. Don't get stuck in what the Spirit of God said 10 years ago. Praise God. That was great manna for 10 years ago. But we have to keep sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping and staying on track with what the Word of God is. The Word is the same. The Word won't change, but God will emphasize different things as you're beginning to grow and to develop. He's going to bring different things to your attention, you know, where it's the old, you know, I like to say about the old Sesame Street, you know, today is brought to you by the number 5 and the letter A. And when you begin to sow and reap, you're going to find that season was brought to you by humility and forgiveness, you know. You're going to find out this one was brought to you by faith and declaring the Word of God. You know, but there's going to be different seasons that's going to bring out different kinds of harvests as you have that same dynamic interaction and that same dynamic working. All right? And so the final thing, or, you know, just a couple things too, where Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Surely I tell you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, you go into your room, when you shut the door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. There's that language of reward. He will reward you openly. Think about this. Jesus says, so in other words, the sowing part is not glorious. All right? That's not the glorious part. That little girl who's there, I remember with my dad, We're getting up early in the morning. We're putting that seed, and we're hoeing, and we're training runner plants, and it's hot, and I got dirt in my fingernails, and I'm sweating. And at the end of the day, I get to get on my bike and bike 4 miles to go home after I'm ready to exhaust. This is not glorious. This is sowing. This is work. This is an effort. But we're doing this in faith, knowing those berries are coming. But then the same little guy who did that later was a gatekeeper when we had the pick-your-owners, to let the pick-your-owners come in. And sometimes I had to keep people out for a while until the other pick-your-owners came, because everybody all of a sudden now wanted to be on the farm. We had rows full of berries, and just, everybody wants to be there. Well, now, okay. And so my job changed, where I was keeping people in and out. But there's that reaping time. But the glorious time, you know, and that reaping of the strawberry, it was open. You know, it was openly. The thing with me and my dad and my brothers and hoeing off, that was private. That was a secret place. Nobody saw that or cared about that. But when the fruit happened, there was something open about that. It was an open experience. Everybody could experience that. And this thing, this verse 6, it's almost like, you know, but you, Clark Kent, you go into your phone booth. You go into your phone booth and have some secret time with me. And then I'll reward you openly. You'll come out of that phone booth with the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus. You know, you're going to come out of that phone booth, you know, doing what I've called you to do. But before honor is humility. And a lot of time that principle is happening. Before reaping, there's sowing. And so don't be all glorious and have these really romantic expectations about the sowing. Sowing's work. Sowing's in faith. But you know what? You can be deliberate about sowing, and you will deliberately reap. Not in 2030. I'm talking, you're going to reap. You're going to sow and you're going to reap. You will reap of the Spirit. If you sow to the Spirit, you will reap life of the Spirit. You'll reap a connection with the anointing that abides within. You'll reap that. You can rekindle that relationship. There was one point where Jesus, through the book of Revelation, exhorted the church, return to your first love. Do the first works. You know what I mean? Go back. There was a going back to a sowing to the Spirit of stirring up that gift of God, and there's a connection that you experience when that happens. And then finally, the Psalm 1 guy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the path of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in season, whose leaf also shall not wither. He brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf doesn't wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, when a preacher stands up on a Sunday morning and says, sow to the Spirit, do it by faith, do it by that. I know. I've been the preacher. I've actually been out there probably a little bit more than I've been up here. It's getting pretty close to the same now. But I understand it. I get it. And if you haven't been in this book for a while, it's amazing how many things, how quickly you can get through your to-do list before you actually get to this book. It's an amazing, the aversion. It's like a supernatural aversion to the Word of God. Now, I'm just talking about me. I'm talking about my experiences. Yeah, it's just sow to the Spirit. What's so hard about that? It's just kind of like the think right message. Just think right. Well, there's spiritual stuff going on here. It's a spiritual act for you to open your Bible and sit down. And on purpose, this is what I'll do. Just read it slowly and out loud. And just let those words get in you. For you to be able to do that, it seems so simple. Now, you might spring out of bed some morning. I'm not saying it's not always hard. You might spring out of bed some morning and it's just awesome and it's great and flowing. But I'm just saying, when you wake up in the morning, you wake up Clark Kent. You're still a natural person. You still got natural stuff going on. You're going to get in that prayer closet and something's going to happen. And so the Psalm 1 guy, he wasn't just, oh, I'm just delighting in the Word of God. He had to come through some stuff. He had to come through the counsel of the ungodly, the path of sinners, and the seat of the scornful. The counsel of the ungodly is that poor you. It's the bitterness, the victim complex, all that stuff that'll just kind of put you off. And the path of sinners, flesh world, and the devil, all the escapes that the enemy offers you to take your mind off of something. Or the seat of the scornful, where you're just critical, you know, to feel better about yourself, being critical of somebody else. All these different kind of things. And so, the Psalm 1 guy, he sidesteps all that stuff. But it's not because, oh, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I got to read my Bible. He had a different attitude, and this is faith attitude. He delighted in the law of the Lord. In other words, there was a certain expectancy when he sat down. You got to see past, I should read my Bible. You got to see past that to, I'm sowing in faith. I'm seeing fruit. I am planting seed in my heart. What did Paul say? He that plants or he that watereth isn't anything. That's talking about a minister planting you. But a lot of times you're your own minister. You're planting, you're watering. And you're doing it knowing that God's going to give the increase. And the increase that I'm experiencing isn't just always the answer to that problem. The increase is just that connection, that fellowship with God. From there, I'll get the answer to my questions and different things like that. But I'm doing this and I'm realizing that, yeah, I'm going to go for it. But there will be times, and I just want to encourage you in this, because if you sit down with your Bible, and it's like you're reading a verse and it's like, oh my goodness, you're off in left field and doing something else, and you look down and go, oh, I'm reading my Bible. How about that? You could read one verse. If you haven't been reading your Bible for a while, you might not have a very strong spiritual attention span. That's something that you're going to develop over time. And even if you've had a strong spiritual attention span, you've been away from the Word, you're going to probably redevelop it again. A little therapy. But you develop that spirit of a sound mind. But don't feel like it has anything to do with, I got to read X number of scriptures. You're just planting the Word in your heart. Man, if you can just read a scripture or two and just mull those over and repeat them, and declare them. Let that meditate that word. And you're doing it. You're not doing it to check a box, right? You're doing it in faith. You're doing this with an expectancy that this word is going in me. And Father, you're going to give increase to this word. I'm feeding my faith. I'm sowing to the Spirit. Father God, I have an expectancy like that farmer that I'm going to reap what I've sown. I'm sowing to the Spirit. And I believe I'm going to reap life. I'm going to reap fellowship and the presence of God. In revelation from the Spirit of God. And from that place, I can walk with God. So understand that when you're sowing to the Spirit, there's a battle. The Bible says the enemy comes immediately to steal the word that was sown. So there is a spiritual battle. But this is a lot of times where people do this, and then I tried to read the Bible, but I can't. I'm one of those people that can't read the Bible, and you stop reading the Bible. Don't. That verse in Galatians 6 says, for you will reap, don't be weary in well-doing. You will reap in due season. If you faint not. The enemy is coming along to try to get you to faint. You can't get this. You don't understand this. You know why I can boldly look you in the eye and say you can get it? You can understand the Word of God because you have the author of the Word of God in you. And it's the Holy Spirit in you who will bear witness to this word of God. And that's where this relationship and this fellowship is established. As your eyes are hitting these words and as you're reading and declaring these words, you're awakening. You're stirring up the Holy Ghost that's in you. Jesus said, when he, the truth, Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. When you just declare the word of God, you'll experience the witness of the Spirit of God say, that's true, that's right, that's good. And that's just the way it works. I mean, God just bears witness to his word. And so it's important that we understand that. I can declare that. And when I just think of, Ephesians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Now, I may not even mentally be able to fully comprehend everything I said, but I can tell you one thing with the stuff that I do understand. There is the witness of the Holy Spirit saying, yes, that's true, that's right, that's right, that's right. That's reaping life. You're getting in tune with the anointing who abides within. And that same one who says, that's right, that's right, that's right. You begin to look at things, you begin to hear a conversation, that same says, that's right, that's right, that's not right, that's not right. But you're getting that life that you're reaping of the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit of God that reaps, that's right, that's right, that's right, he'll help you navigate the counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinners, and the seat of the scorn of your own deals and your own narratives and your own things in your own head. That authority and anointing will help you do that. But to do this, you know what you got to do? Ultimately, to have a devotion time, you got to exalt Jesus and love Jesus above everything else. That's what it comes down to. If I'm going to sow to the Spirit, whatever is bugging me the most, I've got to say it. I believe you are, and you're a rewarder. I'm going to sow. I'm going to magnify the Lord above that thing. This person did this, they said this, and I love Jesus more. No matter what anybody's done to me, it can't undo what Jesus did for me 2,000 years ago. There's nothing that can separate me from his love. Sowing to the Spirit is just putting Jesus in that first place. Jesus, I love you. You're first place. What about this? What about this? All I know is Jesus is worthy of all praise and glory and honor. And Lord, I sow to the Spirit. I'm declaring the word of God. You know, and sometimes if you're struggling with prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer is a great template to pray and to declare. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. You can kind of go off on your own tangents and worship. And you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That template of prayer really covers a lot of great things as it relates to sowing to the Spirit. Because when you begin to do that, you're clearing your heart. And I'm getting what's in my heart out. I'm getting it into his hands, into his care, to where he's caring for me. Well, Heavenly Father, we just pray this morning that as we just come before you, we want to reap life of the Spirit. We want to be intentional about reaping that life of the Spirit of God. And to just realize that this reaping life, these experiences of the Spirit don't have to be mystical. They don't have to be unknown, but there can be an intentional reaping of that dynamic fellowship with you, an intentional reaping, Father God, of that intuitive knowing, that revelation, that faith. Father, I just pray that for each one of us this morning. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree with these words. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe you are. I believe you're a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. I'm going to reap life. I believe it. I know it because I can sow to the Spirit in faith. And as I sow, I will reap fellowship, an intuitive knowing of you, Holy Spirit. I can hear your words. I can hear your witness. I can see your revelation. Heavenly Father, I thank you that when I sow, I reap. And I thank you that you've commanded me to ask, to seek, and to knock. And Lord, I will. And I will walk in the harvest of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, receive that this morning. I've just, like I said, in my own walk with the Lord, I've had some different things where I've just kind of misinterpreted what's going on. You know, whether you're feeling that anointing, feeling that strong, keep that cycle of sowing and reaping going. And even as you're reaping, you know, continue to keep that cycle of sowing. Sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping, and that's when you're going from glory to glory to glory. But realize this stuff is not accidental. This stuff is intentional. When you reap, it's because you've sown. You don't reap according to the sovereign will of God. You reap according to what you sow. That's important to know. Now, there are times the Spirit of God says that there will be manifestations of the Spirit that are given as He wills. But even those are predicated on desire earnestly spiritual gifts. You know, I said, God can do things, but when you are reaping, there's an intentional sowing and reaping and sowing and reaping. I'm not supposed to live from mysterious experience to mysterious experience. He wants me to walk and live in that reaping life. Praise God.